Chapter 5. The nightmare started when Azoth awoke. "Good morning," Rat said. "How's my favorite little gutter shite?" The glee on Rat's face told Azoth that something was seriously wrong. Roth and Harelip stood on either side of Rat, almost bursting with excitement. Dollgirl was gone. Jarl was gone. Jalaliel was nowhere to be seen. Blinking against the sunlight streaming through the Guildhome's torn roof, Azoth stood and tried to orient himself. The rest of the guild was gone, either working, scavenging, or just deciding that now would be a good time to be outside. So they'd seen Rat come in. Roth stood by the back door, and Harelip stood behind Rat in case Azoth ran for the front door or a window.
"Where were you last night?" Rat asked.
"I had to piss."
"Long piss. You missed the fun."
When Rat spoke like that, totally flat, no affect in his voice, Azoth felt a fear too deep to shiver out. Azoth knew violence. He'd seen sailors murdered, had seen prostitutes with fresh scars, had a friend die from a vendor's beating. Cruelty walked the Warrens holding hands with poverty and rage. But the dead look in Rat's eyes marked him as more of a freak than Harelip. Harelip had been born without part of his lip. Rat had been born without a conscience.
"What did you do?" Azoth asked.
"Roth?"
Rat lifted his chin at the big. Roth opened the door, said, "Good boy," as if speaking into a dog, and grabbed something. He hauled it inside, and Azoth saw that it was Jarl. Jarl's lips were swollen, both eyes black and so big he could barely see through the slits. He was missing teeth, and he had crusted blood on his face from where his hair had been pulled so hard his scalp bled. He was wearing a dress. Azoth felt hot and cold tingles on his skin, a rush of blood to his face. He couldn't show Rat weakness. He couldn't move. He turned so he wouldn't throw up. Behind him, Jarl let out a little whimper.
"Azo, please. Azo, don't turn away from me. I didn't want..."
Rat struck him across the face. Jarl fell to the ground and didn't move.
"Jarl's mine now," Rat said. "He thinks he'll fight every night, and he will. For a while."
Rat smiled.
"But I'll break him. Time's on my side."
"I'll kill you. I swear it," Azoth said.
"Oh, are you Master Blint's apprentice now?"
Rat smiled as Azoth shot Jarl a look, feeling betrayed. Jarl turned his face to the floor, his shoulders shaking as he cried silently.
"Jarl told us all about it. Sometime between Roth and Davy, I think.
But I'm confused.
If Master Blint apprenticed you, why are you here, Azo? You come back to kill me?"
Jarl's tears stilled, and he turned, grasping at straws. There was nothing to say.
"He wouldn't take me," Azoth admitted.
Jarl slumped.
"Everyone knows he doesn't take apprentices, stupid," Rat said. "So here's the deal, Azo. I don't know what you've done for him, but Jalaliel's ordered me not to touch you, and I won't.
But sooner or later, this'll be my guild."
"Sooner, I think," Roth said. He wiggled his eyebrows at Azoth.
"I have big plans for Black Dragon, Azo, and I won't let you get in my way," Rat said.
"What do you want from me?"
Azoth's voice came out thin and reedy.
"I want you to be a hero. I want everyone who doesn't dare stand up to me themselves to look at you and start to hope. And then I will destroy everything you've done. I will destroy everything you love. I will destroy you so completely that no one will ever defy me again. So do your best. Do your worst. Do nothing at all. I win no matter what. I always do. Azoth didn't pay dues the next day. He hoped Rat would hit him, just once, and he'd be off the pedestal. He'd just be another guild rat. But Rat didn't hit him. He'd raged and swore, his eyes smiling, and told Azoth to bring double next time. Of course, he brought nothing. He merely extended an empty hand as if already beaten. It didn't matter. Rat raged, accused him of defying him, and didn't lay a hand on him. And so it was every dues day. Gradually, Azoth went back to work and started accumulating coppers to put in Jarl's pack. The days were awful. Rat didn't let Jarl speak to Azoth, and after a while, Azoth didn't think Jarl even wanted to speak to him. The Jarl he knew disappeared by slow degrees. It didn't even help when they stopped making him wear the dress. The nights were worse. Rat took Jarl every night, while the rest of the guild pretended not to hear. Azoth and Dahlgirl huddled together, and in the quiet, punctuated by low weeping afterward, Azoth lay on his back for long hours, plotting elaborate revenge that he knew he'd never carry out. He became reckless, cursing Rat to his face, questioning every order the boy gave and championing anyone Rat beat. Rat swore back, but always with that little smile in his eyes. The littles and the losers in the guild started deferring to Azoth and looking at him with worshipful eyes. Azoth could feel the guild reaching a critical mass. The day two bigs brought him lunch and sat with him on the porch, it was a revelation. He'd never believed that any of the bigs would follow him. Why would they? He was nothing. And then he saw his mistake. He'd never made plans for what to do when Biggs joined him. Across the yard, Jelaliel sat, miserable, coughing blood and looking hopeless. I'm so stupid. Rat had been waiting for this. He'd arranged for Azoth to be a hero. He'd even told him. This wasn't going to be a coup. It was going to be a purge. Father, please don't go. Logan Gyre held his father's destrier, ignoring the pre-dawn chill and holding back tears. No, leave it, Duke Gyre told Wendell North, his steward, who was directing servants with chests full of the Duke's clothing. But I want 1,000 wool cloaks sent within a week. Use our funds and don't ask for repayment. I don't want to give the king an excuse to say no. He clasped gauntleted hands behind his back. I don't know what shape the garrison's stables are in, but I'd like to have word from Havamir of how many horses they can send before winter. Already done, my lord. On every side, servants were coming and going, loading the wagons that would travel north with provisions and supplies. 100 Gyre knights made their own last-minute preparations, checking their saddles, horses, and weapons. Servants who would be leaving their families said hurried goodbyes. Duke Gyre turned to Logan, and just seeing his father in his mail brought tears of pride and fear to Logan's eyes. Son, you're 12 years old.
I can fight. Even Master Vorden admits that I handle a sword almost as well as the soldiers.
Logan, it isn't because I don't believe in your abilities that I'm making you stay. It's because I do. The fact is, your mother needs you here more than I need you in the mountains.
But I want to go with you.
And I don't want to leave at all. It doesn't have anything to do with what we want.
Jason said Niner is trying to embarrass you. He said it's an insult for a duke to be given such a small command.
He didn't mention the other things Jason had said. Logan didn't consider himself quick-tempered, but in the 3 months since King Davin had died, and Aelin Gunder had assumed the title Aelin the Ninth, known condescendingly as Niner, Logan had been in 6 fights. And what do you think, son?
I don't think you're afraid of anyone.
So Jason said I was afraid, did he?
Is that where you got the bruises on your knuckles?
Logan grinned suddenly. He was as tall as his father, and if he didn't have Regnus Gyre's bulk yet, their guard's master, Ren Vorden, said it was only a matter of time. When Logan fought other boys, he didn't lose.
Son, make no mistake. Commanding the garrison at Screaming Winds is a slight, but it's better than exile or death. If I stay, the king will give me one or the other eventually. Each summer, you'll come train with my men, but I need you here, too. For half the year, you'll be my eyes and ears in Cenaria. Your mother...
He broke off and looked past Logan.
Thinks your father is a fool,
Katrina Gyre said, coming up behind them suddenly. She had been born to another ducal family, the Graysons, and she had their green eyes, petite features, and temper. Despite the early hour, she was dressed in a beautiful green silk dress edged with ermine, her hair brushed glossy.
Regnus, if you get on that horse, I never want to see you come back.
Katrina, we aren't having this discussion again.
That jackal will hurl you against my family, you know that. Destroy you, destroy them, he wins no matter what.
This is your family, Katrina, and I've made my decision.
Duke Gyre's voice carried with a whip-crack of command, an edge that made Logan want to shrink and not be noticed.
Which of your harlots are you taking with you?
I'm not taking any of the maidservants, Katrina, though some of them will be hard to replace. I'm leaving them here out of respect for your...
How stupid do you think I am? You'll just find sluts there.
Katrina, go inside, now!
She obeyed, and Duke Gyre watched her go. He spoke without turning toward Logan.
Your mother...
There are things I'll share with you when you're older. For now, I expect you to honor her. But you will be Lord Gyre while I'm gone.
Logan's eyes went wide. His father clapped him on the shoulder.
That doesn't mean you get to skip your lessons. Wendell will teach you everything you need to know.
I swear the man understands more about running our lands than I do. I'm only a 4-day ride away.
You have a fine mind, son, and that's why you have to stay. This city is a viper's nest. There are those who would destroy us. Your mother has seen hints of that, and it's been part of her troubles. I'm gambling with you, Logan. I wish I didn't have to, but you're the only piece I have left to play.
Surprise them. Be smarter, better, braver, and faster than anyone expects.
It's not a fair burden for me to put on you, but I must. I'm counting on you. House Gyre is counting on you. All our retainers and vassals are counting on you, and maybe even the kingdom itself.
Duke Gyre swung up onto his huge white destrier.
I love you, son. But don't let me down.